thank the Lord for us as we're able to help people in trouble and pray for them. We pray much for our healing, physical healing, and God has manifested Himself to us. But I want to stress on something else, is how that we can have a more healthy spiritual experience. We have some people that have told me, at least one just the other day, I said, how are you going? Well, they get saved, but they go back all the time. What is the key to it? We're full of love for the souls. But this world is such a condition that it is a powerful force. There has been much effort in evangelizing, and our establishment of peace in our world is crumbling. We ask the Lord to help us today. We'll look in some of the Word of God here today. And if I can get some help once in a while from you all, or reading Scripture, well, it's probably better to read it from here as we go. St. Luke 24. I didn't know where to start this, but the Lord gave me a start here in this, the 24th chapter of Luke. Now upon the first day of this, the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre and beginning, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And then the other part of it, it goes on how that the walk of those that walked out of it when Christ was walked along with them, and it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that have one to another as they walk and are sad? And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And then he said to them, what things? That's what Christ said to them. And then on down it says, Christ said unto them, O fools, in the 25th verse, and slow of heart, believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory, the beginning, and beginning at Moses and the prophets, He expounded unto them that all the Scriptures and the things containing Himself. So, and then He said, on down, Christ said, peace to you. And He said to them, if you are troubled, and why do the thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that I am myself. Handle me and see, for the Spirit hath the flesh and the bones, as ye see I have. In the 44th chapter, it says the words of Christ again, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Then on down He says, thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in His name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And this, and ye are the witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye into the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued from power from on high. We need power from on high to understand Christ. These, they knew Christ, and they knew that He said that He was going to be crucified. And here they were walking with Him down the road, and they didn't know Him. Oh, how could people can follow their own self and be so numb to it, and how that the gospel goes out in certain ways, but they don't hear. And the gospel is not mixed with examples. And we need examples, and Christ was the example to us. And it's His will that we die to ourselves and express Christ through us. Christ needs to be expressed not by religion of man, but by the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us. And you know, to become someone and see the angels in the shining garments, and they're talking and everything, and then it still stunned them. They didn't know what to do. And this is where our world is today. They don't know which way to go, because they see somebody here says they're Christian, they're Christian over there, and then they're fighting against each other and trying to decide who's who and who's what. And when it's Christ that should be exalted, not man, not a person, not a university, not a college, not a center of denominationalism, but coming down from Christ. Oh, Lord, help us, dear God. Oh, Jesus, be with us and help us, dear Lord, today. And we have another encounter. Now, that was in Luke 24, in John 3, the 3:16 chapter. And I bring something here, and I want you to understand, and kind of, and if you have any questions, that's all right too. John 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, Christ's words here again, third verse of the third chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom is governed by the Almighty. We have a government. Government of the Almighty. It's not my church, your church, our denomination, or things connected with someone with a common name. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born
when he is old. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? New life. New life. Just heard this morning that our youngest son, they have another little baby girl this morning. That's why my wife is not here. She left me to go on home later. So, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and a spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. As you look into your Bible commentaries, a lot of them say that the fifth verse, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's been translated, he cannot enter unless he is baptized in water. But here, the writer gives us a parallel that gives us another understanding. And that understanding is that he that is born of water is alive because he was water in the womb. There's not water in the womb. There's no birth. There's death. Isn't that correct? So actually the sixth verse says the same as the fifth verse. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That is born of the Adam, the heir of Adam, they are in flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit, the capital letter S, is Spirit, the small letter of the alphabet. We have a Spirit, and the Spirit is where God must abide. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth wherever it listeth, and the heaven sound thereof, and canst not tell whither it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. For born of the Spirit will be led by the Spirit. And God communes with us in His Spirit. This verse is very hard to understand. It was for Nicodemus here. He did not understand. And our world today does not understand what true rebirth is. They can understand going to church. It makes them feel a little better. But It's deeper than that. Galatians 5:25, I just want to skip there a minute. Galatians 5:25. Got a new Bible here. No, it's 5:25. Galatians. Mm-hmm. No, I guess not. Okay. Oh, that was out of my context here. The world cannot understand. Now in John 4:21, John 4:21-22. Okay, my marker got. Jesus said unto her, 4:21 to John. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Of course, you know this is the woman at the well. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such as worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's so many things in the book of John that is really wrote with love and with concern. As we heard the other day, that we know that John was old when it was written, and he wrote this, and he was able to communicate with some of the others before he got old about these things to verify them. 15:4, 15th chapter of John, 4th verse on down. Abide in me, and I in you. And the branch, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can he be, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and the men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And then the 11th verse on down, these things have I spoken unto you, that you may, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man to lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hateth me before it hateth you. The early church grew as a community, responding to each other and working to each other. There has been observations of intelligent people speaking about the Western civilization, good, the United States, and recognizing it as a force, but also recognizing it as individualism. This is what most of the Christianity is surrounded about, by individualism. They go to church and they don't know those in the next pew. And that the church identifies them, puts them in their computer and deals with them and sells them a lot of books and keeps it going along. And it's a sort of a support that's artificial. But we can get direct from the Spirit in our life, and to know how the Spirit operates, and to see. It is very confusing sometimes for children that get saved, and they see examples of other people that they're going back and forth, and one thing another, do not know what to believe. But the Spirit of God can work with them and to fill them with His presence. And in Colossians 1:27, it says that we are full of Him. To whom God without would make known what is the riches of His glory and the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And how so many other places, not only John 15 and this chapter here, is the power within us. And in the last verse of the first chapter of Colossians also says, whereunto I, Paul, labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Which worketh in me mightily. We have to understand that the mighty work is from the Spirit. It's not from our intelligence and not for our ideas. It's not for us voting for things. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And this powerful government of the Almighty is where we belong in it. We belong in His church and His government. And His government is going to supersede all others. His government is going to break down others. We see how it's happened. It's happened sometimes in people where people are persecuted. And there's people looking to God and spreading His gospel. I don't know about some of the stories in China and things like that, but the Chinese Christians were thankful for the communist regime, because the Mao Zedong had them to learn the same language, and so they can communicate gospel to other parts of the great China. Just talked to some brethren yesterday in Mexico, and Culiacan, Sinaloa, it's one of the most dangerous towns in... Well, you imagine you can live in the capital city of your state and someone walks into the offices of the governor and tells them what they can do and what they can't do. We'll kill your children if you don't do it. That has happened. In Mexico, in two different states, just recently, the governor-elect was killed in Tamaulipas state and also Sinaloa state. They eliminate the governor-elect in order that they can have their way. We live in a time of shaking in our world. And this shaking that we see is in us also, because time is short. And we need to get a coat of this government of the kingdom, His kingdom in us, Christ, the hope of glory. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Be with us this day. Also, there's another verses here. John 4:21, or did I read that? Yeah. Oh, dear God, just do help us. Chapter 17, we read that too, 14. I have given them thy word, and thy word hateth them, because they were not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, but as I am not of the world, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art one, and in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Then we got some scriptures here in the Roman road. The Roman road, 8:1-9. Oh, Jesus. Chapter 8 of Romans starts speaking about what we are. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. And that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but ye are in the Spirit, capital letter. If so, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of Him. And here the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is the same thing. And if Christ be in you, Christ in you, through the Holy Spirit, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For ye that live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. This is not meat for people that want salvation. It's meat for us that know the Spirit of God and how to deal with other people to know that they can live according to the Spirit and to grow in the Lord. We thank you, Lord. Help us, dear Lord Jesus, today. There are some scriptures about the Spirit that confirms God's will in us and helps us to be able to instruct people of the Spirit of God. It is something, as Nicodemus said, he could not understand these things. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is of spirit. And it's an area that we can learn from. We have in Galatians, Ephesians, in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, abstain from all appearances of evil, 22nd verse, 23rd verse, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with the holy kiss. Charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We thank the Lord for his blessings to us, and we feel the Spirit of God pulling on us to die out to self. Because if we know so much and how to fix everybody else's problem, we shouldn't even start. Christ was humble. He humbled to pray all night with his apostles. He sought the Lord. He sought the Lord to inspire him for that day. He gave an example of that to the disciples. But even then, they didn't understand when they went up fishing after Christ had been. But they did wait in Jerusalem until the power did come down. We're thankful for that. We thank the Lord for the spirit of the meeting and how that God is dealing with young people. But as I said before, there has been people observant of young people that this world is so evil that they get accustomed to things that shouldn't be partaken of. They justify themselves. And one thing also that justifies themselves of going back into sin, maybe they hear of some rumor. Well, they know maybe someone is fighting for his rights in the Church of God, or things like that. That can hinder that can hinder. The fourth chapter of Hebrews also lists something that we will tie it down with this. Let us therefore fear. First verse of fourth chapter. And I believe that this chapter includes or it pertains to the same context. You know, there are different subjects in the chapters and things. And sometimes we relate one part of it as meaning something, and then that other part means something else different. But I believe it's all in context of understanding, in parallel giving of the word. Let us therefore fear, lest they promise being left us of entering into his rest. That any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it is remaining that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he lamenteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Of course, that Jesus there is actually Joshua. Thank you. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. This is my intellect, my position that I hold, or my intelligence. I'm better than you are because I got it all ducks in the row. But let us labor, therefore, unto enter into this rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. This is what I'm longing for, and I am fearful of this, that God will help us and give us some answers for the reason why people fall away. Do we have to correct something in our doctrine or in our walk in order that they grow? I believe we're on an important place in history that we need to prepare ourselves for great persecution. And in great persecution, there has been a growth of Christianity in history in different places of the world. Where are we? Are we ready for that? Okay, the 12th verse. For the word of God is quick The quick is alive. Alive. Do we want to worship a alive government? It's in Christ. Because everything else spells death. Had some amens there. I know what they know, but quick and powerful. A powerful executiveship. A powerful government over all the powers of the devil and Satan. And sharper. That means prepared. Those that wore the sword, it gets sharpened. Sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We have three parallels there. That sometimes the parallels will be able to tell the whole story. And this is what I have seen. There is a parallel there between the soul and spirit. And then the next that it offers is and the joints and marrow. So you put up on a page, you put the soul and spirit underneath of it, put the joints and the marrow, and then put underneath there the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Then look up the definition of those words and you'll be able to find a secret intelligence there. What? Yes. We trust that this is good for us today, that God may see that we are weak, but His Spirit can be strong in us. His Spirit in us can bring us unto the death of our self. As Paul said, he died daily. We too must trust in the Spirit of God, that He may help us. And as you read this parallel to see the likeness between the soul and the joints, and then the, yes, the soul is yes, the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. You look up the word joints, that is our elbows. It is things we can move. It's our will and our emotion. And that is our soul. The spirit is as the marrow of the bones. The life of the bones. It's the factory of red corpuscles. If your marrow is not working, you will die in a few days. So we need that.
Yes, the red corpuscles are produced in the marrow, and also in that, in our spirit, he can judge the intents of the heart. And on our soul, our thoughts. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And I realize that this acknowledgement of that interpretation was not in the 19th century, very little. But in the 20th century, it was. And I think it's something for us today to dwell on, to see, and to understand, that we may be able to fortify others in a struggle to be victors through Christ. And it takes a real... We are saved by faith. We're sanctified by faith. And God can motivate us to get to those parts. And it's not our labor. We are resting in Christ because He's working in and through us. The rest in the 12th chapter of Hebrews spoke of God rested. We're in that Sabbath day, and when we're full of Him, we're in that Sabbath day, and He can use us, and we don't have to get any glory for what we do. We just do the servant part. His apostles were servants. Christ is a servant. But there's too much leadership drawing you one way or the other. A lot of times just dollar signs that's there. We need to seek the Lord that He may reveal to us still some hidden truth, that we may be fortified in these last and evil days. So pray for me. Maybe.